So be honest with me. How many of you, when you came in this morning, somebody was sitting in your seat? Let me see your hands. All right. That's exactly what happens when a church that has two morning services combine their services. And we can't do that except on a holiday weekend, but it's good to see all of you together this morning. And Mike said something very important in his introduction. He simply said, you may be able to see some folks today you don't normally see because they come to first service and you come to second service. So I sat there and thought, I've got a solution for that. If everybody who comes to first and second came to Bible study, well, that would solve that problem, wouldn't it? So let me encourage you to get your year started off right. And next Sunday morning, make life group a real must on your list. And we have 1,000 for both services. Let's have near that in our life group classes. And by the way, this Wednesday night we are meeting, and then following that, right back to all normal activities and ministries next Sunday morning. You're dismissed tonight because of the holiday, but this coming Wednesday evening, 6:30, Bible study, and I'm beginning a new series that should last till Jesus comes. It is an overview of the Word of God, several messages from each of the books of the Bible, and we're starting in Genesis, and we're talking about the sovereignty of God in human creation this coming Wednesday evening, and then beyond, we'll just spend as long in each book as we need to until I go or He comes. This morning, turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. And it's the final in this brief series with the little tag, One Thing. And this morning, we're going to discover the one thing that we can all resolve as we enter the new year. I think we've all got two admissions this morning. One is that somehow, some way, at some point in time this past year, we blew it. We made a mistake. We failed in some way. We weren't as good a dad as we ought to have been, good as mom. We weren't as good a grandparent as we could have been. We weren't as good of an employee. We made a bad decision. We did a wrong thing. In some way, almost all, if not all of us, just blew it this last year. And the second admission is all of us ought to want to be closer to our Father in the coming year than we find ourselves this morning. And that doesn't really matter where you are on that scale. You still ought to be closer to Him tomorrow than you are today, because that's what growing in grace is all about. Chapter 3, verse number 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. The one thing that will make a difference in 2019. Join me as we pray together. Father, in these moments that we spend studying Your Word, would You just exalt Your Son in our presence? Would You allow Your Holy Spirit to guide our thinking and help us to properly interpret the passage? And would You let us leave this place full of excitement and energy to serve you in a more effective and powerful way in the next year. Bless those who couldn't be here today, those who are traveling, those who are still enjoying the holiday events with their families. Give them safe return, and in these next weeks, would you, Father, just come upon us in power and in great truth so that we will grow in the nurture and in the admonition of our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I read this very familiar passage, I assigned to it three words. And those three words, I think, are the keys to resolving right things in the year to come. The first word is the word elimination in verse 13. I do not consider that I've made pressing on the only thing in my life, he says, but this one thing that I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to what lies ahead. So the word elimination, what is there in my life that needs to be eliminated? Let me just put it in street language. What needs to go? What's in my life that does not belong in the life of a spirit-filled child of God? What needs to go? Well, I believe the very thing that I mentioned in the outset. Any failure in this past year needs to go. I need to confess that to my Lord, who is faithful and just to forgive me for anything I have said, done, or thought that was wrong. And as I confess my sin to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's a hallelujah verse. That's a verse that teaches and tells us that we don't have to live in the penalty, nor in the presence of the mistakes of the past. I need to confess my sin, and God will forgive my sin. Now, there's some of you in this room this morning that are beating yourselves up because of the failures of the past. Every time you turn around, the devil reminds you of what you've done, where you've been, and how it has impacted you. On this last Sunday of 2018, I want to tell you, as a child of the living God, you have every right to look the devil square in the face and say, "You are not welcome in my life. I have confessed my sin, He has forgiven my sin, and you have no right to remind me of what's under the blood of Jesus Christ." You have that right this morning. I'm going to go a step further. You have that responsibility. You ought not to let the devil beat you with former sins and failures. If it's confessed, it's forgiven. And if it's forgiven, He's forgotten. And if He's forgotten, no one else needs to remember. Now, let me just kind of turn that over a little bit. Not only do you need to confess your sin so He forgives you, some of you are destroying your spiritual life by not forgiving others. It's got to go. It's got to go. It will steal your joy. It will take away your peace. It's like a cancer on the inside of you. Instead of it eating away at your physical life, it's eating away at your spiritual life. The joy of the Lord does not belong to the boy or the girl, the man or the woman who continues to resent and be filled with anger and bitterness because of something that happened to you. If God can forgive you for what you have done to Him, then surely you can forgive others for what they may have done to you. That's your past. And if you don't get past your past, you don't have a future. The second thing that I want you to remember about elimination, and this almost doesn't seem fair. We ought to be able to remember victories of the past, and remembering is okay. But I want to challenge you this morning. Don't be content with victories in the past. Don't say to yourself, I've already been there. I've already done that. Listen, if you're still here, and you are, God still has a plan. He still has a purpose. He wants you to grow. Oh, but Pastor, I'm 70, I'm 80, I'm past that. If you're still here, you're not past that. If you're still breathing, there's a word for you from the Almighty, and that is, keep on going and keep on growing for my honor and glory. Eliminate the idea that, oh, you ought to have seen me back there when I taught that class. You ought to have seen me back there when I worked in that ministry. You ought to have seen me back there when I was able to do this. You're still able. And while you may not run the race of a teenager, you can pray the prayer of a senior saint. No, you heard me. While you may not be able to sprint, you can be filled with the Spirit. While you may not be able to sing as you once did, you can still make a melody in your heart to the Lord. And while your hands may tremble and your walk may have been weakened, you can still look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm telling you, we would put the devil on the run if every person in this room this morning said 2019 is going to be a year when I eliminate anything in me that robs me of the presence of God, and when I eliminate anything in me that makes me proud and boastful of where I've been and what I have done, and all I'm going to do this year is press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Eliminate. Number two, determination. If not elimination, then determination, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, so that I might share in His sufferings and be made like Him, be conformed to His image. There's three things I think you can determine. One is to know His person. To just get to know Jesus a little bit better. And there's just two ways you get to know Jesus a little bit better. One of them is by studying the Word of God. Now, let me be practical for a moment. If you don't have a plan where every day of this next year you read a portion of the Word of God, tell a pastor and he'll get that plan into your hands so that every day this coming year you can spend time in the Word of God. Number two, if you don't have a set aside time where you spend it in prayer, I want to encourage you this morning to just sit down with your family. If it's just you, sit down by yourself. Look at the day that you live. Look at the times that you arrive into this world and the times that you leave this world to sleep, and find a time that's the best time for you to spend time in prayer. Some of you are morning folks. Well, then you pray early. And some of you are not morning folks. Then you turn that television off and you get rid of that computer and you find a time every night before you go to bed to spend some time in prayer. But whatever you do, get to know Him better this coming year by spending time in His Word and time in your prayer closet talking to Him about what matters in life. There's another determination, and that's to know His power. And there's only one way to know His power. Listen, I'm going to do a joint counseling session here because I say this every time I counsel. In 2019, stop trying. and start trusting. And I say it every time I cancel. Because here's what you say to me. Brother John, I'm trying to quit. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying not to do wrong. Stop trying. You can't do it. So stop trying to do it. Start trusting. Lean on Him. When I was just a boy, I remember us starting to sing this old hymn, and it's never left me. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights, because things that are higher and things that are nobler, these have allured, these have captured my spiritual sight. Stop trying to do the right thing and start trusting the influence and impact of the Holy Spirit to lead you into all righteousness. Now, don't get me wrong. I heard the pastor say this morning, I don't even have to try any longer. Turn your hearing aid up. Here's what I'm saying. You can try as hard as you will, but Satan is more powerful than you are. Start trusting the indwelling of the Spirit to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Determination to know His person, to know His power. I just want to hit this and move on, to know His passion. You know what my prayer has been lately? And I don't know why I don't pray this all the time, because it's a worthy prayer. Lord, break my heart about the things that Your heart is broken about. Lord, fill my heart with joy about things that fill Your heart with joy. I want to have the passion of the Lord. I mean, I know this world's in a mess, and I know that there are a lot of things in this world, in this state, in this city, and yes, in this church that don't please the Lord. And I want that to break my heart just like it breaks His heart. And I want it to break your heart just like it breaks His heart. Because if all of us get a broken heart about things that don't belong in the life of a child of God, somebody will do something about that. Just get the passion of God. Get His perspective on things. We need to stop crying about things that ought to be laughed at and laughing about things we ought to cry over. It wouldn't hurt me, it wouldn't hurt you, it wouldn't hurt all of us to carry a broken and burdened heart around with us every day as we pray for those who are failing and falling all around us. The third word is dedication. Elimination. Determination, dedication. Verse 14 lays that out before us. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the goal? See, here's the deal. If you don't know where the finish line is, you're going to quit running before you get there. So what's the goal? Where's the finish line? It's when this robe of flesh I drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. It's when this mortal puts on immortality. It's when this corruptible puts on incorruption. It's when I am caught out of this world either by the rapture or death, to where the penalty and the presence and the power of sin no longer have a sway over me. You know what the goal line is? Face to face with Christ my Savior. You know what the goal line is? Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher, and running the race with patience until I arrive on the glory shore. You need to get the goal in sight. You need to see what the end result is. You're not going to live forever. Next week in the State of the Church message, I always spend a few moments just to name the people in our church family who have passed away this last year. To my surprise, and I don't know why, because I preach a funeral every couple of weeks. I preached 26 funerals last year. 26. at least five or six others in our church family, others preached their funerals. But I preached 26. And every time I did, it was a reminder to me that life is brief and short and uncertain and soon to be over with. Don't boast about tomorrow. Get it settled today. Have in your heart a dedication to the goal and press on, press on, press on to the prize. I've never won anything of a significant nature. I can't even win at bingo. But here's a prize that I've already got the winning ticket for. I purchased it when I prayed for repentance and forgiveness at Calvary. It's been secure since I was an 11 or 7-year-old boy. It's mine and it's nobody else's. You didn't give it to me. And you can't take it away from me. What is it? I'm going to be just like Jesus one day. I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I got a place prepared for me on another shore, the land that is fairer than day. I'm going to live in a room that will shock and surprise the most wealthy among us. I tell you about that place. It's such a place that the gold men die for here. We're just going to walk on it when we get up there. The pearls that you just go crazy about down here, they're building gates out of those pearls up there. And the city, it's the most beautiful imaginable. And the people, they're all redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the purpose that we'll have before His throne and worship and praise and magnification of who He is and exaltation because of what He's done. What a prize. Oh, did I tell you? You've won it too. You have it too. All who know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, we're going to celebrate that prize together in the presence of the Lord. And it's all because, and that's the last thought, I want to be dedicated not only to the goal and the prize, I want to be dedicated to my calling. The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I wish my grandkids could have been raised in the innocence of the days when Maggie and I and many of you were raised. We used to get up in the summertime and get on our bicycles and ride away. There was just one rule: be home by dark. That's it. I came home another time or two when I got hungry, but be home by dark was the main rule. And I can remember, as the sun began to set, looking at my friends and saying, tomorrow, here's the plan, here's what we're going to do, but there's just one rule. I got to be home by dark. Dark was when Dad came home from work. Dark was when supper, I'm from the South, not dinner, supper, was put on the table. Dark was when the family sat down together. Dark was when we prayed and thanked God for the meal. Dark was when you talked honestly about what your day looked like and how you were feeling and what your heart felt and what your plans were. For some reason, even as a kid who loved to play all day long, I looked forward to dark because I was in the safety and the security of my Father's house. It's getting dark. Have you noticed? It's getting dark. And I'm looking forward to the safety and security of my Father's house.